You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Day after our recognition of the 15th anniversary of September 11th, and certainly for many of us, a date that seems like yesterday, and we'll reflect on that a little bit and some of the reflections that I saw over the weekend, some interesting stuff. Also, this political climate, of course, heating up now that it appears as though Hillary Clinton is suffering from pneumonia, and her critics just want to kick this woman when she's down. Now, I have said many times, there's plenty of stuff I disagree with. There's a whole lot I can disagree with when it comes to her policies and what she stands for. I would prefer to stick to that. I would prefer to stick to the things that I truly have challenges with and refer to those, discuss those, find solutions to those. That would be what I want to do, which leads me to what I want to discuss, and we'll get right into this coming up in a moment. Why being a good humanist really should be the goal of all of us. Yes, we need to be good Christians. You can be a good atheist, but why the humanity and the dignity of humanity, we talk about this a lot, just being a good humanist, let's start there. I don't think we see enough of that. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this. Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media. Catholic Faith 50 minutes every afternoon. I think I mentioned it on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, but the crud has definitely set in. Lots of stuff going around. People sick everywhere. My throat, surprisingly enough, feels better today, even though I think I probably sound worse today. I don't know. And it probably has more to do with the fact that my head is so stopped up that I feel like I sound like Barry White. I feel like I've got the most ridiculously deep, resonant voice ever because that's what I hear in my head, so who knows. But bear with me. It's that time of the year, obviously, and that time of the year to the point that at the September 11th event, presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton falls ill, literally falls, getting into the van, and this seems to be the opportunity now just to kick this woman all the more. Yeah, I don't care how much you disagree with someone, and yeah, I know I talked about this last week, and I know that I suffer from challenges with despising people. I get it. There are people who turn my stomach, but the one thing I don't do, because first off, these people aren't public figures anyway. Donald Trump isn't one of them, believe it or not. I would sit down tomorrow with Donald Trump and have a drink with him. I would do that. I would hang out with him and I would talk to him. I would try to understand him. Nothing could stop me from doing that. I would do it with a moment's notice, invitation. Hey, Donald Trump wants to meet with you. And I would say, you know what? I will clear my schedule. I will find time. I would do the same for Hillary Clinton. There are some people who will remain nameless, unnamed, whatever. Nameless? Well, they have names. I will not name them. There are some people who I would not. I don't care. I can't bring myself to meeting face-to-face with certain people because I find them despicable. But that does not mean, first off, that I will name them, or if they were a public figure, would I kick them when they're down? I do not wish ill upon them. I just want to avoid them. I just want nothing to do with them. I just want to stay away from them. And I will. And I will. But it's amazing what I've seen in just this brief time since this incident happened yesterday, that social media has been this, I mean, not that it's not vitriolic, not that it's not already difficult at times to digest, but the stuff that I have seen, just as low as it comes, attacking Hillary Clinton. Now, there could be some who are in the basket of deplorables, right? And they're just showing that they are. So if you're in the basket, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. I'm so stopped up. I don't want to, I'm on performance enhancing drugs, by the way. So I've tried to clear my head as best I can. I'm trying not to laugh because I'll end up blowing out a snot ball here. I don't mean to be too graphic, but so maybe these are the ones who are showing their true colors, showing the fact that yes, they probably are deplorable. But wow, why would you do this? Why would you do this? Which leads me to what I want to discuss today, and we'll get into it now, and it might become thematic throughout the show, but definitely we have time here in our first segment. Why would we not want to be the best humanist we can possibly be and let the world see you for that? Let your opponents see you for that. Let those with whom you disagree see you for that. Now, I've been honest. I've shared my weakness, my challenges about those that I don't like. But that is completely isolated from race or creed or ethnicity, religion, attitude, you name it, whatever. To me, the problems I have are very specific and have real reasons attached to them, even though I know it's still my problem, it's something I need to mature beyond, it's something I need to grow through, of course. But I hope, and this is something I'm, when I get into debates on Facebook, and it can go round and round, and I try to be respectful, first off, to everyone and anyone who disagrees with me. I want to always show that respect. But the one thing that I generally say is, if you do not see a humanistic platform in everything that I present, I hope that I present that even over and above my Christian and Catholic faith. Now, I say that with confidence, knowing that humans are the greatest of God's creatures. When God created man, he said, this is very good. When we understand incarnational theology, we realize that God became man so man could become godlike, so we could share in that incarnation. And when we understand the model of Christ in the church and man and woman and new life being created, the sacred value that is the dignity of each human being, there is something divine. Not that we are to be worshipped, not that we are to be given a place higher than our Creator, but we're greater than angels, even according to Scripture. So why would we not honor humanity and be a good humanist and be able to say, you know what, we're going to do everything we can for the sake of human beings? Because is this not what we're called to do? Are we not supposed to do unto each other as we would have others do unto us. Do you want to be sick with pneumonia, barely able to stand up, and have people deride you on social media because they happen to disagree with you, so this is their opportunity to kick you and say things like, well, I hope you die. I've seen that. I hope you die. Why would we behave that way? Why are we not above that Neanderthal or some primitive, but that's insulting to primitives and Neanderthals. Why do we do that? Why do we have that nature that we just want to go there and we want to insult someone on that level? Yeah, I realize having problems with particular things, and when you have those problems, you can spell out what they are. If you've got a problem with Hillary Clinton's policy on the unborn, well, let's talk about that. If you have a problem with Hillary Clinton's apparent negligence when it comes to the Benghazi response, that's a big one. If you get a problem with that, well, we can talk about that. If you get a problem with what looked like carelessness on an email server, which we still don't know if there was any real problem with that. We don't know that this was hacked. We don't know that this fell into enemy territory. We do not know if there was any national security breach. All we know is that this was an unsecured email server, which, as the FBI said, is careless, not criminal. But if you've got problems with that, that's great. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with having problems and asking those questions. We can do that as disagreeing individuals who can remain civil and disagree. We can have those conversations. And there are some of those that I just mentioned that I have tremendous problem with. Absolutely. But that does not mean I'm going to wish death upon someone or make fun of a situation that is serious. If this was a loved one, if this was your loved one, let's forget about all politics. If this was someone in your family that you care tremendously for, what would your reaction be to someone treating that individual like this in social media? And I've seen some of this from individuals who profess a faith, who call themselves Catholic or Christian or whatever it may be, and this is their behavior. I think we're going to have credibility. And I think the only way to have credibility as a person of faith is to put your humanistic hat on first and say, as a religious humanist, right, I'm going to find that common ground with my secular humanists who are there watching every move I make, trying to say, see, that can't be trusted. I can't trust you because of this attitude that you have, because you use your faith as a bully pulpit. You hit people over the head with this, or you seem to disregard your faith when it comes to certain things and you treat people inhumanely. Now, let's think about that. Let's put that humanist foot forward. Begin there and then see what happens. Yeah, don't abandon your faith, of course not. But think about the perception that's there, especially when we're going to throw somebody under the bus. My goodness. Not a good witness. More to come in a moment. Back after this, I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Defense Hour, Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Talking about the humanist concept earlier, and as I was mentioning this on Facebook, a friend said, there's a big difference between being a humanitarian and being a humanist, and I get that from the sense that humanism generally refers to a kind of a brand, kind of like atheism. It's a brand that says, this is your first and foremost and only worldview. And I don't mean that. I don't mean it's your only, but I think that there is an opportunity. It's kind of like, you know, St. Paul talks about this, when I'm with the Jew, I'm like the Jew. Not to be a Jew necessarily, but to bring someone closer eventually to my understanding. And I think that there's something about having a, and not that this is trickery, because Paul knew Judaism, knew it well. This was his faith he grew up in, and I'm sure had respect, and had to have deep respect for many traditions and a love for many Jewish individual who he knew well. So I don't think that there's some kind of trickery that St. Paul was suggesting, that when you be this way, when you're this, no, he was basically saying, find those elements within you, because those elements are within us all. Find those elements that you can then bring forth, so you have the opportunity to connect, whereas you may not otherwise. And I think that that's what's important in this understanding, is that it's not about abandoning or compromising. And, you know, I've encountered plenty of non-compromisers, non-negotiators in my faith walk over the past many years. And there's something that rigidity and that, the lack of charity that can come from that, generally speaking, is much more of a deterrent than it is an attractor. And if we really want to be fishers of men, it's what I've said many, many, many times, if we really want to fish for men, as Jesus says, we have to use bait. That bait, again, it's not some sort of trickery. It's not, you know, like the trick of the worm on the hook, hiding the hook. It's not that. It's more just having an authenticity about yourself that says, well, I can relate. I can relate to these individuals because I believe in what they believe in. Maybe not 100% of what they believe in, but even if it's 10%, focus on the 10%. If it's 20%, all the better. 80-20 rule. Focus on the 20, you'll get the 80. So we lose that. Either we've forgotten it or we've never known it when it comes to evangelization. We just don't think that that's a part of it. We think that our part is just proclaiming things that they don't know, they don't have, and try to make them have it. I don't know, right? I don't know. I know this. I've stopped doing that. I've basically stopped doing that. And when questions arise or when people ask me certain things, I'll give my position on it. But I'm certainly not going to lead with that. It was interesting. I spent some time over the weekend with some old friends, because I mentioned last week was my 30th high school reunion, and there were some who couldn't make it to the reunion, and we decided, okay, we're going to try, while these other people are in town, we're going to find a way to all get together. So there are about 6 or 8 of us that got together over the weekend. And yeah, it's kind of known now, even among my oldest of friends, my position on things, because I'm pretty vocal about it. Not only, and some of them may listen, yes, of course, to this program, but all of them see things that I post on Facebook. So inevitably, some way, somehow, conversation comes around. And And when it does, I present my positions firmly and adequately and without any reservation about what I believe as a Catholic. But it's only when it's brought up, and it's only when I'm asked. I do not lead with that. I'm not there to hit anybody over the head, but, you know, not seeing people for a lot of years, questions come up, things come up, and it's a beautiful opportunity to be able to discuss it. But at the same time, I hope that I'm leading with a whole lot more common stuff that we can all agree on and we can all connect on, and that's the idea, right? If we can do that well, now we have found a way to have effective bait, which is, again, not some sort of trickery, not some sort of trying to set the hook, but simply legitimately and authentically relating to someone in order to build a friendship that could lead to something else. Who knows? But not because it will lead to something else, but because you want to be there as a friend. That's your goal. Your primary goal is that. If you happen to bring them into an understanding of something because you legitimately develop a relationship and you begin to care for them, well, now we're getting somewhere, right? Now we're beginning to make something happen. And I think about Jesus and the tax collectors and the prostitutes all the time. And I have to think that he really just wanted to be their friend. Yes, he wanted to get them out of their lifestyle, no doubt. He wanted them to not have to be in this compromise, both very compromising to their dignity and to the dignity of others. You think about that equation, that they were self-destructive and also really, really causing problems and pain for other individuals, while at the same time, deep down, being very good people. And he knew this. He knew this because they're created in his image and likeness by him. So for him to go to them and want to connect on their level, where they were, and have an opportunity just because of who he was for something maybe to change in them, I think there's something beautiful about that. And again, just because of who I am and the faith that I profess, doors are open for me to have conversations that I normally wouldn't have, because I'm not just going to interject that. I'm going to wait until that door is opened, and then, yeah, we'll discuss it. I'll give you my position. I'll tell you why. I'll back it up. You may not agree with me, and I'm not going to twist your arm until you do, but I'm certainly going to tell you why I believe what I believe. Now, if I have invested enough time of common likes and common agreements, common philosophies, whatever, if I've invested enough into that to the point where that door opens and I present something, it's like, where the heck did this come from? It's not necessarily going to be immediately rejected. Quite the contrary, I think it's going to be accepted for, at the very least, a valid consideration, because at least at that point, I will be seen as having a fair treatment of their positions, and certainly a fair treatment of them as individuals, and hopefully the sincere understanding that I care. I care about my friends who I disagree with deeply. And again, ideally, that shows above everything else. Not that I disagree with them, but that I care for them. And my care for them is way, 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 way stronger than any disagreement I could ever have. And that's what I hope I can bring to the table when it comes to a witness, when it comes to an opportunity to begin to change direction. It's not about how do I beat them up? How do I show them how they're wrong? No, how do I affirm them in whatever they're doing, wherever they are? Give them props, give them legitimate, real appreciation. Show that to them. Do unto others. What do I want? I want affirmation. right? I want acceptance. I want real admiration. We want that. Why would we not give that? Because when we give that, we don't give it to gain that back. We're investing something in others that it may not come back to us, and that's okay. But you know what? That may bleed into other elements and other relationships and other things in their life, and you never know what that little bit of real appreciation, affirmation can do. Why would we not do that? So, long way to go to say that this is kind of, I think, the secret sauce, the missing ingredient when it comes to evangelization. As I always say, you can evangelize without people knowing you're evangelizing them. And quite frankly, if your only goal is to evangelize, we're going to miss the opportunity to build real relationships. You're going to miss the opportunity to get to know people for who they are and what they bring in, and perhaps even what they can add to you. I mean, I can't count the times I'm in conversation with people, whether it's in person or if it's in a discussion on Facebook, and I'm like, thank you for that perspective. Really, thank you, because now I can see things a little bit differently that maybe I hadn't seen before. Are we letting people teach us? More to come with you back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Every afternoon, hanging in there with the crud going on. So thanks for bearing with me. Appreciate that. Lots of individuals with challenges now, including Hillary Clinton. We talked about that. And hats off to Newsmax, because these guys definitely pretty right-leaning, I would say. I don't know. I would say ultra-right-leaning. They're probably righter-leaning publications out there, organizations. But Newsmax out there on the far right, and I did give them a little hats off. I posted last night on my Facebook page the article that was there that basically said it just told the story, pneumonia, this is what's happening, and there was no and we're really glad about that, or and hopefully she'll die, none of that. So I appreciate the fact that, yes, especially if you're known for taking a position, typically when you at least are fair or maybe willing not to always be that way, that's a good thing. Man, we like to expect a certain perspective, no doubt, from our news sources, but still, hats off to Newsmax. Thank you so much. Lots of September 11th reflections, and certainly Facebook is a beautiful way of having those type of reflections. You can bring back the memories, you can bring back the photographs, and I know, you know, it's a never forget deal. I get that. We so want to, you know, we want to honor this, and I understand. I have to say that for me, the images are etched. Now, I know that we're at a point now where we've got high schoolers who, for them, this was an event that they don't remember. There's nothing about this that it is nothing but a piece of history to them, and I understand that. So we want to have that, but it's kind of like I was asking this question about the Columbine shootings. You know, do we need to have a movie about that? Because that's still really, it still seems recent to me, even though it was a long time ago. And that's true of September 11th. And certainly being in media, being on the air live at the time of everything breaking and hearing the reports from various other news sources, having the AP wire directly into the newsroom, and oh my goodness, it was just chaotic. And to try to sit behind the mic at that point and have composure yourself, right? And we didn't know what was coming next. There were so many things coming across the wire, so many false reports, so much speculation, so much. And then we finally said, you know what? This is bigger than we are. And I had even stayed on beyond my shift to kind of hold the fort down and keep everything moving in a steady direction that had begun earlier. And I was a morning show rock jock. I mean, we were just doing goofy stuff. And, you know, the tone had to change, of course, immediately. And then move into this news gathering, news reporting, until finally we just said, look, we got to turn this over to the pros. And we took the network feed and we just left it at that. But it's interesting, Mark Shea was talking about how this bittersweetness of that September 11th event, because there was something beautiful about America that day. And I think that, you know, there's undoubtedly fruit of tragedy and the oneness that came, the beauty of that. But, you know, the other thing that I recall, because in my town were turban-wearing Hindus who just happened to have restaurants. And because they were suspected to be Middle Eastern or Arabic or Muslim, I know that they were looked at disparagingly. And in some cases, nasty things said about them. So, you know, you think about that, and it's, you know, that's the last thing that needs to happen when we're trying to pull ourselves together as people. But unfortunately, that's what happens when, again, back to the theme of kind of what we're talking about today, when we're not focused on humanity in general, and we become nationalists, that's a problem. There can be a problem from that. So, you know, I remember the unity. I remember the Go America, absolutely. We're hoping and supporting each other. But I also remember just even immediately afterwards, this nastiness. Now you got Donald Trump saying that he remembered this group of Muslim celebrants on the day of September 11th. Celebrating in New Jersey, pardon me, with the crud going on, I apologize. And what has that led to? We now know that there have been 3 murders in New York that were certainly not robberies gone bad. None of these individuals have had anything stolen from them, even though they were all carrying cash and cell phones and things that would normally be of value in a robbery. But the one thing they have in common is that they look Muslim. One woman wearing her burqa or hijab, however you say the name of the headscarf, and the other 2, one imam and one other Muslim, an obvious Muslim dress. And, you know, this is disturbing when you see that. So you think that we may have come a long way in a lot of ways in the past 15 years. But when we have anyone suffering discrimination because of how they look, or even because of what they practice or believe, if it's not criminal, they certainly shouldn't be judged as criminals. And the last thing they need to worry about is being targeted by some bizarre sort of vigilante, which really shouldn't even be vigilanteism. I saw article. I don't think that I shared this. I share a lot of stuff, and we don't get to everything on the show. But, you know, there's this crazy attitude of vigilantism in the Philippines where people think it's okay to kill drug dealers because, well, they're drug dealers, therefore they're despicable. We don't need them in our culture. And there's a vigilante movement now where those who are targeted and suspected, with what evidence, I have no idea, but this has also been kind of encouraged by the rhetoric of the president there, who's been pretty extreme. And so because of the things that he's been saying and the way he has considered certain individuals to be, that the way he sees that they need to be treated, it sparked this brand of vigilantism that's happening now. So, yeah, and I remember, if you, maybe you don't, I mean, you could reflect back on September 11th with nothing but all, we were all so unified. But there were mosques that were targeted. There was a mysterious fire at the Muslim center in my hometown. And, yeah, was it ever proven to be arson? I don't know. But just a lot of unfortunate occurrences, things that certainly didn't need to happen because innocent people were targeted. And, you know, that's what we always want to do. We want to have this retaliation. I saw a meme about, yes, we pray for the lives lost and we honor those from the attack, and the disproportionate number more of Iraqis who perished in the war of retaliation, as it's seen, for a country that wasn't even really involved. So, you know, it's bizarre, and it's unfortunate that this is what we have to deal with. Yes, we want to never forget the events of that day, and we always want to hold in our hearts those who lost their lives. But I think we've also got to remember the reactions that can come and the other innocent people that can be harmed when we immediately say there's an enemy that we have to attack. And that enemy looks like this or lives in this place, which we know was not the case. And the investigation certainly showed that this was not a national thing. It was an attitude thing. It's kind of what we see in ISIS now. It's that same sort of loosely connected, but geographically, very loosely connected geographically, but from a philosophical standpoint, from an ideological standpoint, very connected. So I think we have to be careful. And I would hope that when we reflect on events of this nature, there's some degree of precaution. There's something we could see as that would say, you know, let's not let ourselves get to that point, which unfortunately I think we're already at the point, or we've remained at that point, or we're still seeing the things that unfortunate discrimination in many places. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.